And just coming up to 25 minutes to 10 here on 666 ABC Canberra. The moment the election was called, the ABC opened up its Vote Compass site. Now, the briefing for us inside Auntie was that we were hoping for 100,000 respondents. There were 40,000 in the first 3 or 4 hours. Last time I looked this morning, well over 250,000 people had used the site to check where they sit on the political spectrum. IT specialist and writer Still Gerrion, with whom many of you will be familiar, has been asking some questions about how that information is used, how secure it is. And I've also got with me Cliff van der Linden, who's the founder of Vote Compass from Canada. Still Gerrion, good morning to you.
Good morning, Genevieve.
And Cliff, good morning. Great to have you with me from Canada.
Thanks very much for having me, Genevieve.
My pleasure. Now, Still Gerrion, have you had a crack at Vote Compass yourself?
I have indeed, and in my case, yeah, it got me pretty spot on. I won't say where, because that's, of course, my business, but apparently for many people, when they put it in, they're surprised that Vote Compass comes back with a different answer, and I just assume that's because, you know, Senator Rebetz in Tasmania seems to think there is possibly some deep, dark conspiracy to get people to change their votes, but I think really many people, if they're not particularly engaged in politics, may not know, you know, what the party's policies actually are as opposed to how they remember them from 20 years ago.
And look, I think that is a fair comment, that people often vote according to tribal allegiance, and there's a bit of a rationality disconnect with what a party's policies actually are. It's more about loyalty and not being able to stomach the other lot. But your concerns are about how this information might be deployed and how it's being collected, aren't they?
Yes, and look, I don't have any direct problems with the Vote Compass organisation itself. It's set up and run by a group of academics, and I know Cliff can fill us in on that shortly. But the issue is that once this exercise is over, and I mean, there's what, more than 250,000 people have filled this in already at the ABC, that Vote Compass has a database with detailed political views matched up against people's location, age, salary level, and education level. And while they're, you know, sharing that around perhaps for the purposes of academic research, and they make sure to take out things which can identify people, over the last few years, data scientists have discovered that, in fact, you can re-identify people from that kind of data. I guess the quick way to explain that is there are only so many 35-year-old females with a postgraduate degree and an $80,000 salary in the electorate of Eden-Monaro.
Oh, and I think there are possibly quite a lot of them, actually, Still Gerrion. But explain to me how you would cross-match that data.
Eden-Monaro is probably not going to... Well, let's say that you're a... this is data mining, it's called, and there are companies that specialise in this called data aggregators. Now, what they will have is, say, from Vote Compass, you've got, as I said, the age and voting intentions and something, you know, that might be there. What you can do is look for patterns in other data sets. So you have a look at, well, I happen to have from a large department store chain their own list of customers and their loyalty scheme, which means they've got a complete record of everything they've bought at the shop. They can do things like analyse shopping patterns, and you can sort of identify whether a woman is single or not, living with a bloke or not, because is she buying razors and aftershave, you know, when she does the shopping? If she is, then there's a man somewhere in the equation.
Yes.
And you just cross-match the data that way.
Well, Cliff,
somewhere along the line.
Cliff van der Linden, let me put that to you, that there are some privacy issues here. Is there something to that suggestion that it would be possible to harvest the data quite accurately by cross-matching it with existing other data?
Well, I would argue that the kind of data that we're collecting is, first of all, the raw data is never made public. Secondly, it's never used for commercial research. It's just used for academic research. Every academic who has access to the data has to undergo an ethics review in their own university before we'll share the data with them. And the type of data that we collect is actually already publicly available to some extent, in that you have a very robust, thorough and well-regarded election study. That's the Australian election study by Professor Ian McAllister and some of his associates that have all of the same sociodemographic characteristics plus more, and that data is put out publicly. So if that data, which is publicly put out for anyone to download, has the potential to be re-identified, I would assume that these commercial companies would have already been able to do that. I think it's I very much respect Stilgherrian's points, and I'm a privacy advocate myself when it comes to digital privacy. And he got a lot of things right in his article in terms of, you know, the fact that it would be difficult, if not impossible, to try to siphon off things from an HTTP protocol, not worth the time, really. We have empirical evidence that vote compass doesn't actually influence the outcome of people's vote choice. There are a lot of variables other than public policy issues that go into that. So there's a lot of very good, you know, well-thought-out arguments there. I think it's just a matter of, as a data scientist myself and someone who works in the very field that Stilgherrian is speaking to, I can say that it's a very low statistical probability. I would actually say it's a no statistical probability to re-identify from our data, even if it was a commercial organization, because you have to be able. Let's take the example that Stilgherrian put out, which I respect. 35-year-old female, postgraduate degree, salary of $80,000 range in the electorate of Edom Murano. I would argue, if there are two of those, just two, how do you know which one it is? We also don't do some things that I think Stilgherrian thinks we're doing. We don't link social media IDs or tags or indicators, even though we have those built into our tool. We're not linking them to the user's account. We don't collect that data. They're separate. So it's not as though your Facebook ID or your Google Plus account, because you hit like or because you share it, is somehow being linked back to this data set. So a lot of the things that could be used to re-identify the data, we're actually not doing. And the type of people who we share the data with are people who have no interest in re-identifying users, because we use it for aggregate studies of political behavior, which is a key component of national election studies.
Well, Stilgherrian, if I can just go back to you, Stilgherrian, on this. I mean, is this a highly theoretical exercise? Is it an abstract possibility under these particular circumstances? Who would make an effort on the level that you're discussing?
Well, what Cliff is saying about this data being collected for academic research, not commercial, so he's not aiming to sell it. Anyone who uses it is not aiming to sell it, and so on. But not everyone has the best of intentions, and the value of a data set like this on the commercial market could be measured in, you know, six-figure sums quite easily. And I can see that there's a possibility, certainly, that a postgraduate student, who, of course, are not the most highly paid people in the world, might see an opportunity to make a quick $50,000 and so on. The other thing that I find interesting is that in the last, let's say, 5 years or so, there have been massive breakthroughs in the science of this re-identification. And there is a continuous series of papers in the field which point out, hey, this is all a lot easier than we thought. Now, the commercial sector is already fantastic at this. There's a classic example by New York Times journalist Charles Duhigg, who wrote an article called How Companies Learn Your Secrets. And he found out that Target in the United States, which is one of the leading stores doing this kind of thing, they can actually tell from a woman's shopping list and how it changes whether she has just become pregnant or not, with an 85% chance of success. So once you get this, Cook is right, if there's two people in the electorate, how do you know which of the two 35-year-old women is in the data set? Well, at the ABC website, there are also tracking devices called cookies and other things from other commercial operators, including Google, Twitter, Facebook. So you can at least cross-match with them and say, well, did woman A or woman B visit the ABC website sometime during the election period, yes or no? You might be able to rule out, the B person directly from that sort of thing. So look, I'm very long-term here.
Sorry, and I actually wanted, before I let you interrupt, Cliff Van der Linden, I've got a couple of texts and a couple of tweets on this that do go to you, Cliff. Mogwai says 87% of Americans can be uniquely identified with only a zip code, a birth date, and their gender. Greg is making the interesting point that, let's not forget, the demographic details on Vote Compass are merely an optional input, and that's certainly true about how it operates. James wonders, though, Cliff, about the ethics clearance and approval process.
So we undergo, so any university researcher who is looking to use Vote Compass data undergoes an ethics review before they have access to the data. And that is that has been consistent. And I should say that this is not the first time that we've run this. As you mentioned, this started in Canada. I have run five of these applications in Canada, once in the federal election where we had 2 million users, in four provincial elections, where in the Quebec election we had per capita more users than in the federal election, and also in the United States with the Wall Street Journal for the U.S. presidential election. None of these data sets have ever been exposed to any kind of commercial entity. You know, I appreciate the point about grad students not making a great salary, but, you know, integrity is priceless. So, you know, our integrity as researchers is fundamental to this, and we simply, you know, we use the data for academic research purposes, and there's an ethics clearance that every university researcher who has access to the data has to go through.
Okay.
And I still don't have access, I should say, to anything that could identify the user. So all any kind of personally identifying information is scrubbed before they get that data set.
Okay, look, very interesting to talk to you both. I think we could probably spend the next 15 or 20 minutes on this one, going through the intricacies of it, but it has actually been really intriguing to get both your viewpoints on this. Actually, Nellie says, love Vote Compass. What's the chance of getting full results of the survey after the election? Will the ABC create a report of the findings? Cliff, do you know how that's going to operate?
So the idea, for some of the reasons that Stogarian has quite rightly pointed out, we don't make the raw data set public,
yep.
But we do provide aggregate results to the ABC throughout the course of the election campaign, and I assume there will be some sort of post-election analysis that will take place after the campaign, because, you know, a big part of this is the more information that we're able to put out there about what people think also creates certain functions of accountability for politicians. It's easy for a politician to say, this is what Australians think. It's another thing to have big data speaking to the opinions and the values of Australians, holding those politicians to account.
Cliff van der Linden, fascinating to have you on the line from Canada. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
And Stogarian, really interesting to have read the article that prompted all of this and to hear your concerns. Thank you very much for being with me.
My pleasure, Genevieve, anytime.
Okay, bye-bye. Stogarian, who's an IT specialist and writer. And look, we should note the ABC is satisfied with the security of Vote Compass.